Hey, Gawk, isn't that what Amber used to call dogs?
No. Hamsters. Gawks.
Oh,
Not Gawks, yeah.
yeah. Oh, damn it.
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 24 for Wednesday, the 18th of February, 2015. This is the show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and with me as always is my friend, Kent. How you doing, man?
I'm sick. You gave me the crud, I think. You digitally transmitted the crud.
Transmitted the herpagon stuff blades again. Yeah, just going to keep passing that back and forth by a microphone. It's not healthy. Man, I'm doing pretty good. I got my my third and hopefully final shot in my back this week. I got it yesterday, so yesterday I slept really good after that. Ended up being until 2 o'clock in the morning. And today was one of those days that super, super productive, didn't get anything done.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I absolutely know what you mean. That's a normal day at the office.
Yeah, that's a keystone to the military lifestyle for the paper pusher desk jockey. So it's been interesting. You know, my continuing saga of out processing. I'm gonna have some things posted up. I think I disclosed last week that it was 78 separate items that had to be done prior to the squadron checklist being done. Did I talk to you about that last week?
Yeah.
Okay. So 78, and I got I actually officially started yesterday, and I got like the first five of them knocked out, and then hopefully now that I've got my last shot in the back, I can go to the doctor and get the medical stuff cleared out, and I should be good to go after that. So you know, that's how my week's been.
All right. Well.
Yeah. There you go.
At least you're only being shot in the back by a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. That's much better than being shot in the back by, you know, I don't know, ISIS or some shit like that. So.
Yeah, or even just a coworker, or, you know, a lot of times, they're usually the ones that stab you in the back. They don't really shoot you in the back.
Yeah.
Or throw you into the bus, or, you know, it's usually some other horrible thing that they do.
Something bad. So anyway. So this week you finally have a TED Talk to talk about. So what's going on there, man?
Yeah, well, I listened to a few of them. I'm only going to mention one just because it's relevant to the main topic for today. This guy, Paul Kemp Robertson, he talked about currency and the future of branded currency. And if you're curious what that means, look up the TED Talk. I'm going to talk about some of the things that he talked about during our main topic, but you still need to watch listen to the TED Talk, because he takes it in a direction that we're not going tonight.
Okay, and of course,
so it's pretty interesting.
Of course, we'll have that link in the show notes.
Absolutely.
As for TED Talks, and another link we will have in the show notes, the TED app, the TED mobile app. I know I sent it to you via message. I watched so many different TED Talks this week. I couldn't figure out which one. I couldn't even remember some of them that I listened. I mean, I just sat there. If I had 10 minutes, I would just pop it. There's a feature on there that says, how long do you have and what major kind of topic do you want? Do you want something funny or informative, or, you know, and how much time do you have? And it'll actually make a playlist, a randomized playlist to fit your category and your time frame. And you can just sit there and listen to it. I tried that several times, going to the gym, you know, put it for 30 minutes, and it'd give me 29 minutes of playlist. And, the app itself is great. So my TED recommendation for this week is the TED app. And we will have that link in the show notes as well. And it's amazing. It's the app itself isn't anything special, but just the capabilities that it has and the amount of curation involved in it is really cool.
Yeah, so. I really liked it. I downloaded it right after you sent me the link to it. And I checked it out, and yeah, that's how I watched the TED Talks that I did get a chance to watch this week. And it's really cool, super user friendly,
free,
all the content's there. Yeah, free. That's the key word.
Yeah, it is sponsored by Rolex. Awesome. So like when you select how much time you want, it's actually Rolex face, you know, watch face. But there's really no obtrusive advertising. It's kind of nifty how they included the advertising in the the model, the user interface for the app. So
right.
That's a worthy note as well. So moving on from that, what did you do this week that was particularly geeky, man? Lay it on us.
Well, I spent a lot of this past week being sick with the crud, so I didn't get a chance to do a whole lot, at least not a whole lot outside of the house. So basically what I was trying to do was improve my sound for the podcast. And one of the things I did was kind of a little location scout. I'd like to set up a studio at a different location, still on my property, but not in the room that I'm currently in, because it's got several limitations. But I have an outbuilding, kind of like a small garage or a large shed, depending on how you want to look at it.
It's kind of a hobby garage, really.
Yeah, kind of. It's
I mean, that's how I would describe it, because that's exactly how it's set up and everything else. It's like got all, you know, a gender role men specific, you know, all the hobby tools, and it's got the shit. I totally lost the train of thought. It's got like the yard tools, and it's got, you know, place for your lawnmower, riding lawnmower or whatever. It's got all that kind of stuff. So it's basically like a hobby garage. It's intended for a garage or not intended for an automobile.
Right, right. I mean, you could if you really wanted to, but I wouldn't recommend
like
it.
A Fiat.
I'm definitely not going to use it for that.
Definitely not. No, my Tundra.
I mean, it's got a lot of potential. You can do a lot of different things with that building. And one thing I'm thinking about doing is turning a corner of it into like a mini studio, just kind of section a portion of it off, and you know, soundproof it, set up some acoustic. You know, set it up acoustically and just make it a studio.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I did. That's the geekiest thing I did, was just podcast
preparation.
That's it. Yes. Oh, like what is that future projection word? Yeah.
Yeah. that thing you do before you do.
Right. Right. So what did you end up doing?
Well, so last week I talked about having some problems with the WordPress, the installation, things getting a little buggy and me not being happy with the result. I ended up figuring out, I mean, I guess I didn't figure out, I Googled it. I installed a local WordPress installation onto my MacBook Pro and can now tinker with it and adjust all the settings, everything else, try out new themes, all that kind of thing. Mess with the CSS so we can get the colors right, because our site is still in beta as well. I am completely not happy with the current layout. And what it ends up being is I want something very simple yet functional, and it's hard finding a pre-made theme to fit that. So I'm having to go through, and actually I'm going to have to learn a little bit more coding, a little more PHP, and maybe even brush up on some CSS to really get the look and feel that I want with the functionality that I feel our site needs. Our site, of course, being ritualmisery.com. But that's what I did. I installed that and tinkered around with that for several hours this weekend, here and there, off and on, and created a logo idea, an official logo idea, and hopefully I'll have that ready to push out next couple days. Through some public betas, and wasn't quite as happy with the results as I would like, so I'm going to do a little more refinement and hopefully get that out soon.
Cool. Right on.
But yeah.
So did any of that cost you money?
Other than the software, no. I mean, the software is fairly expensive, but it's stuff I've got lying around. Right. You know, different acquisitions things, but yeah.
How did you pay for that software?
I actually used my debit card for the software that I purchased. So, you know, not the most secure way of doing it, but still better than you know, just handing over a cashier's check to a random PayPal person or something. Why? Right. What are you thinking about?
Well, I'm thinking about currency and how money works, and
I use dollars.
You use dollars,
yeah,
right?
I didn't transfer it over to won or you know.
Right, but you didn't hand them treasury notes or coins, did you?
No.
You said you used your card, and the transaction was conducted digitally.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's our main topic tonight. We want to talk about digital currency and the different forms that comes in. And you just illustrated the simplest, well, not necessarily simple, but the the most commonly known version of digital currency. And basically all that equates to is it's real money. It's re, you know, it's dollars, it's yen, it's won, it's euros, etc. But it's transacted digitally, whether you're using a debit card or you're using you know, PayPal, Apple Pay,
right,
Google Wallet, whatever means that you use, you're using dollars or euros or whatever your currency happens to be.
But the whole transaction is
what most people are.
The whole transaction is done electronically is basically what you're getting at.
Exactly. And everybody's pretty familiar with that now. I mean, if you're somebody that listens to a podcast, you know all about digital transactions.
Right. If you're listening to this,
Grandpa might not know, but
yeah, if you're listening to this and you're bartering, you're doing it by choice.
Exactly. Oh boy. But there's a couple different other ways that you can do digital transactions that don't use, quote, real money. There's virtual currency. And that's things that, you know, most people have had some experience with, whether it's, you know, Amazon coins. If you've got a Nintendo Wii or a DS or something like that,
Wii
you've got
points.
Your Nintendo points.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you can name a dozen others pretty easily. Just think about it for a second or two.
World Warcraft Gold.
Exactly that. Or last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago, we were talking about freemium games.
Right.
And the currency that you use in those games, that's exactly what I'm talking about here, virtual currencies. And what makes those different from the next thing I'm going to talk about is that these currencies are kept within their own ecosystem.
They're controlled. They're centralized.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So you can't, like, so for example, you can use your dollars to purchase Nintendo points so that you can, you know, buy a game on your Wii, but you can't use those Nintendo points or Wii points and go buy something on Amazon, for example.
Right. Well,
it is only used in that ecosystem.
Right.
It's very tightly controlled by the business that issues those.
Similar to the way cash is controlled by the treasury or the central banking establishment of whatever country or nation.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm with you so far. Okay.
All right. The third type that I want to talk about is cryptocurrency.
Okay. You almost lost me. Now that sounds like something that's something that's finagled from a bunch of randomness and some sort of money, right? We're going random money. Is that what we're doing here?
In a way.
Okay.
Okay. Cryptocurrency. Okay. It's got a lot in common with virtual currency because there is no real, quote, real money. It's all in the virtual space. There is no gold backing it up. There is no, you know, legal tender issued by a government or any other body. It's all digital. The big difference is that it's decentralized, meaning that there is no organization that says, okay, you've got, like, for example, Nintendo, they decide, okay, we're going to have...
It's 100 points per dollar or whatever.
Right, exactly. And it's very controlled, and that's exactly what it's going to always be. Well, I mean, they could change their mind, but that's... Assuming that they don't change their mind, it's always going to be exactly that. And they control the quantity, they control how it's spent, and et cetera, et cetera. It's very controlled.
Right.
Cryptocurrency, on the other hand, though, is not controlled at all. Not in that respect. Bitcoin is the most prominent. I'm sure most people listening to this have heard of Bitcoin, or at least are semi-familiar with the word, if not the actual entity of what it is. There's several out there. Many have tried to start up. Some have started and failed. Some are still in the process of starting up. Bitcoin itself is actually in beta. And it's the most well-developed and the most common and the most well-known. Basically, this guy back in 2008, what's his name again?
make sure I don't mess this up. Satoshi Nakamoto.
That's it. Now, whether there's a lot of speculation on who this guy actually is.
If it's only one person, if it's a team, if it's a dude. Right. Why he spells things in with the British spelling, even though his original manifest was in English and he's got a Japanese name, right? Yeah, okay. I'm cool.
Exactly. So there's a lot of mystery about who this guy is. But that's not really relevant to the conversation per se. He or they released a document in, I believe it was 2008,
yep,
that basically spelled out what Bitcoin is, or what they want it to become.
Right.
And then the following year, in 2009, the standard, the algorithm was released and said, okay, here's Bitcoin, go.
The initial batch of 50 Bitcoins was released in 2009.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Exactly. And the thing about it is, it's completely open source.
Right.
It's not centrally controlled. In fact, the guy or group, whichever you prefer to believe, aren't even involved with it anymore. They kind of set it out into the wild and said, here you go, you're welcome, and stepped away.
They disapproved.
All right. but yeah, it's decentralized, like I said. It's open source, meaning that anybody that has any programming skill or background can look at the source and modify it if they so choose. Now, here's the thing. It's not something like Wikipedia where you can just go on there and make a change and then the change happens.
Which, by the way, for the record, Wikipedia is not like that anymore.
Well, okay. It's more moderated now. And it's always been peer-reviewed.
Right.
But before,
I digress.
You could make a change and there it is. Well, the thing about cryptocurrencies is you can make the change, but it has to be implemented. It has to be adopted by the community. And with how these currencies work, it has to be adopted universally by everybody. Every right. user has to say, okay, we're changing it to that. So the only major changes that have really happened to it over the few years that it's been around is, tighter security, and not much other than that. There's only been like, I think, 8 changes to it, or at least 8 changes of any sort of note. But it's the way that the currency comes into existence, I guess, the way that money is issued, because they don't have a Federal Reserve that issues money to banks and banks distribute it to the people or whatever. It's called mining. Bitcoin mining in this particular instance. But every cryptocurrency has a mining aspect to it. And basically what that is, there's computers or people all over the place that use their computers to process transactions and verify the transactions and basically ensures the security and the consistency. That's not really the word I'm looking for. But basically make sure that the transactions go as they're supposed to go.
Right.
And again, decentralized, this just random people, you or I could be miners for Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency for that matter. And you basically you're using your computer to perform all these mathematical calculations, and it says, yes, okay, that was a good transaction, and then it uploads the transaction data to the public ledger, which that's another thing about cryptocurrencies, is there is a public ledger that's available for anyone on the planet to go to and see the ledger. It's very transparent in that way. There's no personally identifiable information in the ledger. It doesn't say, your name and address and phone number and, no credit card numbers or anything like that. But there's a key that you generate for every transaction that you make. Mm-hmm. So it can be traced back to the person that made the transaction, but you can't just look at the ledger and be like, oh yeah, Amos made that purchase. so it's very secure in that regard.
Right.
But the thing about these
miners, it hashes out to your digital wallet, which essentially is all but, you know, anonymous.
Right. So, exactly.
So you can hash it out to there, but it's kind of like getting an IP address in an apartment building. You don't really know who it actually was.
Right. And there's ways that if the FBI needed to figure out who made this purchase, okay, they could probably do it. But you or I are not going to be able to track down who made that purchase on April 6th and blah, 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 you know, whatever. But these transactions that happen, they have to be, like I said, uploaded to the public ledger, and then it has to be cross-verified by others,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be checked against previous versions of the ledger, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's, without getting into the technical weeds of it, it makes it very, very, very difficult to commit fraud or anything like that. But also, where the mining term comes from is the people that use their computers to provide this service get, as a reward for providing this service, they get bitcoins.
Right.
And I mean, it's not a lot. I mean, you don't get much really at all per transaction, but you're providing a service and it's over the long term, you get more after a while. And that's how new currency is added into the pool. But there's a maximum. It's, I believe, 21 million.
21 billion.
Is it billion?
Billion. Okay. Well, according to the sources that I saw, 21 billion.
Right. So it's 21 million or 21 billion. It's definitely 21 with a bunch of zeros. But once it reaches that, then there's not going to be any more, ever. So you're thinking, oh, okay, well, how does this adjust for inflation or whatever? Well, it's going to be a kind of a self-adjusting thing, because it's not just that many coins and that's it. It can be broken down into, you know, like how we got dollars and cents. There's bitcoins, and then there's like millibits
and millibit coins, yeah. And all the way down to the Satoshi, which is the smallest, yeah. 100 millionth of a bitcoin.
Right. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty complex. It's like I said, Bitcoin is the most well-known and the most mature of the ones that are out there. But the whole idea of cryptocurrency is actually really, really, really new. There's several, like I mentioned earlier, there's several other currencies out there, cryptocurrencies out there. And I just want to briefly touch on a couple of them. Because most of them are trying to be like Bitcoin, where you can buy anything, any goods or services at all. But some of them are geared specifically towards certain products or certain industries. One of the currencies that's out there right now, it's actually gaining a little bit of traction, Potcoin.
Yeah.
Any guesses on what industry that one is for?
I would say it'd be for the marijuana.
Yeah. Yeah, legal uses of marijuana. I'm sure people will find ways to use it for the not legal ways. And that's the thing about cryptocurrencies. You can't say that it can't be used for illegal purposes. It absolutely can. It's a money. Any kind of money can be used for legal or illegal purposes. It's no different here. But the stated purpose of the pot coin is to assist people in making transactions for legal uses of marijuana, where whether you're, you know, living in Colorado, you know, just wanting to get ready for the weekend, or you're in California and you need to pick up your prescription,
right?
All legal purposes is what they purport to be.
I need some pot coins. If anybody wants to donate some pot coins to the show, just feel free to email us at podcast@ritualmisery.com, and we will set that up. We will get with you, and we will figure out how you can donate some pot coins to our show.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you want to donate any cryptocurrency to us, that would be amazing.
Especially Dogecoin.
Virtual. We'll even take virtual currency. Yeah. If you want to donate some Nintendo points or something
some,
to us, that'd
some
be cool.
Microsoft points. Yep. Yeah, we'll take whatever.
Oh, hell yeah.
We are a digital currency agnostic.
Right. So how about this one? Titcoin.
Oh, I'm going to guess that's going to be used for some digital transactions in some gentlemen's establishments.
Yeah, actually, in anything that falls under the adult entertainment industry. Porn sites, adult novelty stores. I imagine gentlemen clubs falls under that as well. Pretty much the same thing as what Potcoin is trying to do for the legal marijuana industry. Titcoin.
Nice.
Wow. Is trying to do... for the adult entertainment industry. And the main point that they are trying to make with theirs is the privacy part of that. So, like, if you buy some currency, you know, that's the only transaction that you're going to see for your credit card bill or whatever, but you won't have a paper trail of, you know, I bought, I don't know, a double-fisted dildo or whatever. There's not going to be a paper trail of that.
Right. So you're Adam and Eve and Ashley Madison purchases are discreet.
Right. Yeah. And that's their main selling point.
And those websites are not sponsoring the show, but if they would like to, they should email podcast@ritualmisery.com and we can set that up.
Yeah, definitely.
We are also sponsor agnostic at this point. Just make sure everybody understands that we are not currently sponsored by any major corporation or a subsidiary thereof.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, as far as the future, I mean, is this the future? Is cryptocurrency where we're going? Obviously, digital currency is the now. Using your debit card, using Apple Pay, that's the now. Are we going to stick to something like that that's like dollar-based, euro-based, or are we going to move into the cryptocurrency like as the norm?
Man, that's such a tough call. I see cryptocurrency and electronic transactions, things like that, being the way of the future. I understand that doing so will eliminate some jobs and it'll streamline some processes. My concern is that we have to make sure that the system that we use is universal, that everyone accepts it. And the only way I think we come up with that is to get the government involved so they can properly tax everything, because that's how it goes. Everything has to get taxed some way or somehow. If we can maintain the integrity of the system while allowing our local and federal governments to properly tax things. And I'm not against taxes, by the way. I have a very stout belief for taxes that will probably be the topic of another show. If we can get them involved with it to where it'll work that way and, it's universal, I think this could be something we could do. And very importantly, with it being such an instant transaction and fairly anonymous, I could see this going global and... Really, the scary part there is that, someone's going to figure out how to hack it. I mean, they tried to hack Bitcoin several times and they found, I think one of the guys found like 9 vulnerabilities. And every time he tried to strike a vulnerability, he said, the actual code said this vulnerability has been closed. Thank you very much. So the code was actually morphing itself. Now, unless you have something else really, really pertinent to say to this topic, I do have one final hypothesis.
Just real quick. The taxation was a concern for me. Another thing that I read about that could be a possible vulnerability in the future, when we get into quantum computing, which we're still a ways off from that, cryptocurrencies are going to have to evolve as well,
right?
Because the algorithms as they stand right now are incredibly secure. However, if you have a hacker with a quantum computer, the algorithms are not going to stand a chance,
right?
So they have to, if it's adopted, it's going to have to be evolving all the time. And that's the same with any digital currency. like Apple Pay, for example, is pretty damn secure right now.
Right.
But it will have to, it has to have room for evolution and, you know, change with the times.
Now,
so just like crypto.
On that note, you know, the code does morph as it goes along, and the Bitcoins do modify themselves. And I don't say modify themselves, but it does get harder and harder to crack them and to mine them, things like that. The end of April 2014, according to Wikipedia, which I'm sure is at least semi-accurate, the end of April 2014, miners had to try an average of 34.4 quintillion values to find a Bitcoin.
Wow.
And by end of October 2014, so just 6 months later, it had gone from 34.4 all the way to 154.6 quintillion values to find one Bitcoin. So as it goes along, it's actually, you know, generating its own security, really. So, okay. So, and I'm sure the taxes will be covered at point of sale. That's how they do it now. That's how they're going to do it then. It's still anonymous. It's still just like paying cash, but the government will get their 6% or 8% or whatever. or in Europe, 44%, whatever it is over there, the VAT. So this is my hypothesis with, I don't have this fully fleshed out, but as I was reading this today, it came to me. We talked last week about plausible apocalyptic scenarios. And one of the things that I brought up, in fact, my primary concern was the singularity. When the AI, when the artificial intelligence in the world decides that it is smarter than us and wants to take over the world, you know, and we end up in a Matrix situation or, you know, any of the Terminator or any other. Scientific or sci-fi novels that have come out, right? Or movies or whatever. And what if this Satoshi Nakamoto was actually a result of artificial intelligence that is thereby using this to take over the currency transactions in the world, and that... once we become completely reliant on Bitcoin or one of these other ones, these other 18 or so that have popularly spread, that the AI takes over and just flushes it all down when we are in a complete state of turmoil, ready for the robots to take over.
Well, yeah. Okay.
I mean, you know, it seems plausible to me. I'm just, you know, maybe I'm just going, I'm crossing episodes like streams or something, but you know,
okay. Yeah. I see where you're going with this. I'm not so sure that Skynet would be interested in pot coins and tit coins and Bitcoins and Doge coins and all that stuff. Why don't they just hack the, you know, the Federal Reserve and the Bank of Europe and all of that? And,
oh, I got your answer for that. That's easy. That would be too simple. They'd be able to find some way to, you know, you crack the U.S. Reserve, whoopty crap, right? But if you crack all of the Bitcoins in the world at the same time, done.
Yeah.
Done. And you don't even have to wait for time zones. You just crash the whole thing at once.
That's, yeah.
Which that is, you know, true. Time zones goes back to a whole other thing. So maybe we should keep time zones. It's at least slowing down the singularity, I think. So, all right, man. Well, that is that's been our show for the evening. Is there anything else that you want to bring up? Something you want to pimp out?
Just as always, go to ratebeer.com and look up Del Noche if you're interested in anything that I do with beer. Check it out.
Speaking of interesting things Kent does with beer, he's actually not drinking this episode, which is an episode first. Which is sad because I'm actually drinking one of the Wisconsin beers that he found a way to acquire out of state for me, and it's delicious. It's Moon Man. I don't even know. You probably know more about it than I do, but for the people in watching the video, you got a picture of it. If you ever get to Wisconsin, check this out. It's damn delicious.
Check out the New Glarus Brewery. They make all kinds of awesome beers.
So, there's that. Of course, you can be found on Twitter at @RM_Del Noche. You can find me on Twitter at Ethan Kane. You can find the show and the show notes and everything else, ritualmisery.com. It's all on there. It's going to go through some changes very shortly, you know, as time permits. Unfortunately, this is not my full-time job. Otherwise, I'd be the happiest man in the world. And You can find it all there. Episodes, back episodes. You can find links to the videos. You can find all that good stuff there. You can always look us up on YouTube. The link is on the webpage. You can just search Ritual Misery on YouTube, and you'll find all of our videos. If you really want to support the show, you can go to Patreon and find us there. We're not trying to pimp that out too much right now, but it's a pretty amazing thing. There's several things on Patreon. If you've never heard of it, cruise on over to patreon.com, find some people that you like, and I can almost guarantee they've got a fundraiser on there that you can help them directly. And Patreon takes a very small portion of what you give out, and the artist or host or whatever else sees the rest of that. So it's a great thing. You can, like I said, you can follow the show at Ritual Misery on the Twitters. You can submit ideas on our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. We check that. Well, I check it pretty much every day, and make sure that if there's anything spectacular on there, that I follow up on it. We've had some good suggestions on there, and I love Reddit. I think Reddit's one of those things that I could just sink all my time into, but I'm currently trying to eliminate time sinks. So, I stay pretty focused.
Yeah, it's definitely a rabbit hole.
Yep. If you'd like to email us, you can email us text, voice. You can email a MP3 of yourself. Email us a video, whatever. Ritual Misery. There are podcasts at ritualmisery.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail, 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. Our music that's cutting in right now comes courtesy of Kevin MacLeod. And thank you for listening. For me, for you, and for Kent, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya. Because it says 2 minutes on there. So I'm thinking, well, if I say what I want to say, I'm only going to take up about 5 seconds. So I'm going to go ahead and say a paragraph instead of the 3-word response that I was going to give. So if it's cut down to like a minute, and that's total for me and you combined, then it's going to be, I'm going to see that 1 minute and be like, oh yeah, I was sick and it sucked. What about you? Well, I was well and it was awesome. Moving on. You know what I mean?